The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, pop quiz for all you people out there that say you love your country, you care about your state, you care about your local situation, for all you people that are politically active, which at some level should be all of you. If you're not politically active at all because you think Christians shouldn't be involved in politics, well, you're wrong. And you just need to repent of that, because what that is a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love. When you don't get involved with politics, if you don't pray for those that are already in authority over us, and if you don't care about who's running, especially today as we talk to Jacob Arthur, running for the Wake County School Board here in the Raleigh area, and you say you don't care about that stuff and politics, yada, 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 what you're really saying to the Lord, not forget me, what you're saying to the Lord is, I don't really care about my neighbors. I know that there's all kinds of kids, tons of kids in the 140, 150 schools, however many schools we have in Wake County here at the Wake County School Board. I don't really care what's going on under their head and into their spirit. I don't care what's happening in terms of the curriculum. I don't really care about any of that stuff, which is why I don't know who's on the school board, and I don't bother to get involved with school board elections because it's just not my problem. And besides, Steve, I don't even have kids in the school system. Once again, one time after another, you are violating the notion of loving your neighbor as yourself. It does not matter if you have kids in the school system. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. It doesn't even matter if you have kids. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're paying any attention, we know that we've got major problems in the school system around the country, not just here in Wake County, Raleigh, North Carolina, Wake County School Board, but it's a problem all over the place, which is why I just thank the Lord for people like Jacob Arthur, who has other things to do. He's a father of four. He's an attorney, a Navy veteran, and busy anyway, but we have people that get engaged and care and step up to the plate. So we're going to talk to Jacob today, and we'll talk to other school board people if you're running for the school board, especially here in Wake County. But even if you're not in Wake County, you're some other part of the state, or you're in Virginia or Utah or Virginia, wherever you happen to be listening, and you want to get some airtime to talk about the school board race, as long as you and I are relatively aligned, because I don't give a lot of time to people that aren't aligned. This is my show that the Lord has given me to steward, and I don't spend a lot of time playing blood sport and going back and forth with people. I really don't want to share the air with them, to be quite frank. So, but if you're involved and you're trying to make a difference in the name of the Lord and trying to help your neighbor, then feel free to get a hold of me. But Jacob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks. I'm doing great.
Were you wondering when I was actually going to talk to you?
Absolutely not.
You knew sooner or later I'd
eventually,
get around to it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. You'd get to me eventually.
I'd get to you eventually. So Jacob and I met just at a couple of different types of campaign events, and you were kind enough with your wife and your kids to come to our fundraiser recently. We keep running into each other at Prime Barbecue. Which isn't a bad thing.
No, that's really why I keep running into you, because it's at Prime Barbecue.
So if you haven't been there and you're the Triangle area, I don't really care where you live. You need to get up here and go to Prime Barbecue. Anyway, and so finding out and meeting more and more people running for the school board. And so we'll tackle that one first. And then we're going to back up because I want everybody to get to know you better. But what kind of brought you to the point? I mean, you're a father of four, married, attorney. You have other things to do.
Yes.
So why throw this on top of the pile?
Well, I think I'm with a lot of parents over the last 2 years specifically, especially with kids being at home during COVID.
Yeah.
I lump myself in with all the other parents out there who I think spent a lot of time, thinking that our responsibility as parents with our kids' education meant getting them to carpool in the morning and picking them up in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I fully admit that with a bunch of other parents, that's where my head was. And seeing my kids at home over the course of COVID was an eye-opener. I have a son that's in middle school, two girls in elementary school, and then a three-year-old. And some of the things I saw were concerning. And the masking and the school closures are one issue, but I think those are just symptoms. Those are not the problem.
Yeah.
And things go much deeper. And quite honestly, in looking at what's going on, I think we're probably 10 to 15 years behind where we need to be as a movement. And so I just decided, at the also urging of my wife, who says, if you're going to talk about it, you might as well do something.
God bless her.
And just decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and step up here, and I think I've got something to offer, and I'll take a run at this and see what happens.
Were there I appreciate separating out the COVID thing, the shutdowns, the masks. Hopefully that's a season we won't revisit, although I think it's entirely possible that we will. But setting that aside, share some examples of some things that you saw, because all of a sudden you're getting exposure to what they're being taught.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, and we were never in the public schools, very little with our youngest, who's spent like a semester or semester and a half in there. Kind of the assumption that most teachers that we've met seem like nice people. And there's nothing nefarious that's super obvious when the kids are going and coming back. But once you get kind of behind the veil.
Well, and I think most teachers are nice people.
Yeah.
And we'll get into this later, but their hands are somewhat tied, especially with curriculum and what they can use to teach. And we'll get into that. But like, for example, my elementary school daughter at one point had an assignment where they were learning about trusted news sources. This is an elementary school.
An elementary school.
Yeah. And, of course, a trusted news source, when you're looking at the internet, would be anything that ends in .gov.
Yes.
That's trusted.
Of course.
Not so trusted, maybe a .net or a .something you're not familiar with. My son, I didn't notice so much of the stuff in elementary school, but going into middle school, I think, is where the curriculum definitely changes and ramps up as far as the social agenda.
Yeah.
Seeing studies on the Tamir Rice situation as a supplement to a Frederick Douglass study.
Yeah, which you mentioned earlier. I'm like, okay, there's all kinds of things that we should study and understand about Frederick Douglass, an incredible person in American history, African-American. But that's a real positive story.
True.
There's some ugly things there that you need to deal with about his personal story and things that he had to endure. But then what is that? That's just their idea of balancing out. Now we got to show you that America isn't quite as good as Frederick Douglass thought it was.
Yeah, the assignment was really they had an NPR article that was a factual based.
Yes, of course.
Subject matter.
Trusted source.
Trusted source. And then they were comparing a factual source to a fictional source. And the book that they were using was called Ghost Boys, which is a fictional account of Tamir Rice's ghost and him discussing what happened to him and meeting other martyrs along the way in his journey.
Yeah. Man.
So again, I don't know how that worked with Frederick Douglass.
Not that there aren't things that you can study about Tamir Rice when you get to that unfortunate story, if that shows up as part of U.S. history. What class was this in?
This was in his English class.
Okay, this is only going to get worse, so don't go anywhere. We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to pull the veil back, which is why Jacob's running for Wake County School Board District 7. Jacob Arthur, wakeschools.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, today talking about an incredibly important subject, school boards. Who's on your school board? Do you even know who's on your school board if you're here in the Raleigh area, Wake County School Board, which is where I exist. That's where we live, and we've been involved with the Wake County school system, even though our kids have hardly ever stepped foot in it. As a Christian, I need to care about other people's kids, not just my own. So we've been engaged when Call to Action started all the way back in 2004. In 2005, we're here with Jacob Arthur, who's running for the Wake County School Board District 7. Jacob Arthur. Arthur, wakeschools.com is his website. And even back then, 2005, Jacob, we had parents coming to us because all of a sudden we were these crazy Christian people that were willing to engage all these cultural issues. And in 2005, I think it was, we had a mom that came to us that was at an elementary school and was just shocked by some of the reading materials that her kid was being given. And so when we started to find out about it, we're like, holy cow, I actually went on a local – this was AM 680 here locally, when it was before Rush Limbaugh went over to FM 106.1. He was on AM 680.
Yes.
And Bill LeMay was there. I can't remember that Jerry Agar was there. And I was on there for 3 hours talking about this subject. They would not let me read from the book that was in the elementary school system in Wake County School Board because it would have been an FCC violation. So at some point, his producer goes, okay, Steve, here's the deal. This one passage – And every suggestive word or every obvious word, you have to replace it. Just use the word farm, F-A-R-M. But 30 seconds only, because it's going to be so obvious. The FCC is not going to let you get away with that. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, and if you keep going, I'm going to cut your mic. Oh, I get it. So then we go into it. And actually, when we went to a Wake County School Board meeting, I think the mom was expecting me to read it. But I actually, she was kind and she read it. Just trembling, shaking, embarrassed. That was 2005, 2006. So like you said earlier, this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it has been. I graduated from Sanderson High School here in town with my wife in 1997. I was telling you during the break, you know, I grew up in Wake County schools.
Yeah.
I think I got a pretty good education, have done okay. And it's not the same school system.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the same school system. You're talking about the books. I've been in the school board meetings where we've had parents reading from the books that are in the libraries right now. Their mics aren't cut off, but you can see the board members at times' eyes get big.
Yeah,
they're extremely uncomfortable because they know it's wrong.
Yeah,
I spoke at a school board meeting a couple months ago regarding this issue, and for me, the issue I have, I mean, I'm not naive enough to think kids with smartphones in schools today don't have access to pornography or whatever else. However, as a school system, when you're going to say that some of these books have to be in the school to, quote unquote, affirm some of your students, as a Christian, that bothers me, because what you're telling a student, a young person, is that their identity is built around their sexuality, built around their gender, where for me, I look at someone and say their identity is that they're created in the image of God.
Right.
They're our children. I don't need to worry about that other stuff. But as a school system, that's what they're telling kids right now.
Yeah, especially down into 12th, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade. As we saw recently in kindergarten, there was a Wake County Public School teacher with the color chart, and one of them's got a quote-unquote pregnant man.
Right.
And she got that whole flip chart to try to teach little kids in kindergarten, special needs children, colors. And she got her flip chart for colors to do that from some LGBTQIA++ organization. And that stuff is weaved in and out of the system, not just the sexualization stuff, the gender stuff, but just generally you've got critical race theory. You've got a racial agenda there. Not that you don't talk about racism, but there's a way to do that. And with critical thinking, that's not what they're doing. It's literally indoctrination. People say that's a little strong. No, I think if you think indoctrination is too strong, your head's still in the sand.
If you're starting, and I'm same board meeting I mentioned, if you're starting at a point where you're telling one student and another student to have a relationship that they have to start from a point of looking at the other student as either an oppressor,
right,
or oppressed, that's where we're going to build the relationship from, that doesn't work.
Yeah, and if you think America's bad now, you just watch the fruit of that on down the road. It'll get worse.
Yeah, if we don't stop it now, that's my fear is 30 to 50 years down the road from now where we are as a society.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, this is you can have people, Jacob, you went through the school system, your wife went through the school system here in the Wake County Public School System. You grew up in a church home. You're a critical thinker. It's not like every single kid that goes through the Play-Doh machine is going to come out the same. But it does have a general effect across the scope of all of them. And you're going to have I think that you came out of it okay, your wife came out of it okay. I did up in Chicago, but kids in 2022, like you said, this is not the same as it was 20 years ago. It's gotten much more overt, much more aggressive. Just like in D.C., there's no holdback whatsoever now. They're full board.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think a lot of people want to address this. I know certainly the school board won't address this, but the underlying, we can do everything we want to do on a school board if we take over the majority of the school board.
Which you have to do.
The problem is, underlying it all is that we have a problem in the home. And if parents aren't involved, if we don't have intact families, it doesn't matter what we do, because the school system will be the parent.
Right. That's right.
And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah. And there's plenty of two-parent homes out there, or a one-parent home with an engaged parent that cares for their child and loves them. But they're ignorant. And I don't use that word to be ugly. It's just a reality. They just don't know. That's the beauty. That's one of the silver linings, one of the few of the whole COVID shutdown thing, is that parents like you started to find out what's going on in there. Because unfortunately, I think we were all just too trusting. Because you turned out okay, right? Yeah. So many people are saying that.
I mean, some people might not agree, right, but right. I think I did.
Right. We're talking to Jacob Arthur. He's running for the Wake County School Board, District 7. Jacob Arthur, wakeschools.com is his website. Let's back up a little bit because I want people to kind of understand where you're coming from, even though you're a Raleigh native. But you ended up in the Navy. So just tell us about your upbringing. We'll talk about your faith because I want people to understand who it is that we're asking them to consider for the school board.
Yeah, so like I said, grew up here. I don't know another home other than Raleigh, North Carolina. Other than the 4 years I spent in the Navy, most of that time was spent in San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. So there's worse places to live.
That's for sure.
Weather-wise. But, yeah, did a year at NC State after I graduated from high school and then did 4 years in the Navy.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks. When I got out, I came back, finished my undergraduate degree through the adult degree program at North Carolina Wesleyan, and then was in the charter class at the Elon University School of Law.
Wow.
So was fortunate to be in that charter class and lived in Greensboro for 3 years while my wife lived here in Raleigh.
Wow, man.
I started law school about 7 months after we got married and drove off every Sunday evening to Greensboro. And
that's tough.
Yeah, it was. But we survived and got four kids. Three are in public school here in Wake County, and am a local attorney. Even though I have been accused of being a wealthy elitist attorney, it turns out I have a very small solo practice that I work out of my own home.
Yeah.
My office desk in the corner of my bedroom doubles as my my law practice and my podcast studio.
What type of law do you practice?
Mostly with small business owners.
Okay.
Do some estate planning and occasional litigation. I have a paralegal background in litigation.
Got
so
it.
Mostly transactional because I honestly probably spend more time shuttling my kids around than I do practicing law.
Yeah. How long have you been an attorney now?
Graduated law school in 2009.
Got it. Okay. So been at that for a while. I want to ask you a couple of questions about your time in the Navy, and then we'll start talking about other issues. These should be pretty obvious, but specifics that Jacob wants to engage when he gets on the Wake County School Board. Jacob Arthur, wakeschools.com is the website. Talking to Jacob Arthur, Wake County School Board, District 7. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. Thanks for your time, as always. I don't say that often enough, but the fact that anybody listens ever is humbling and quite eye-opening. So I appreciate your time. I hope that it is a blessing to you and a challenge to you. By the way, if you ever walk away from being a regular listener or watching the show or the podcast or whatever, and you're never uncomfortable, then I think I'm not doing my job right. I love people enough to tell you the truth. And I think I've never been a big darling of the hardcore right political machine because I've never been one to just toe the line because I'm always going to apply a biblical perspective. And that's my gavel. That's the lens that I use. And so we call balls and strikes on every subject, every person, every topic from a biblical perspective. And it doesn't matter to me who's at the plate. So that's not always going to play well. Some of the people that hated me the most in the last 5 years were actually hardcore Trump supporters. When I would go negative on Trump, they would accuse me of all kinds of things, not the least of which being a stupid liberal. I'm like, have you ever really listened to this radio show for more than 5 or 7 minutes? Because I am definitely anything but that. But it's good to have you all here. Thanks for being here. And we'll continue to have these conversations as we consider the school board, whether it's your school board or my school board here in the Wake County area. Wake County School Board, which is an enormous school system. We're here with Jacob Arthur, who's running for the school board, District 7. Jacob Arthur, wakeschools.com is his website. How many schools are in the Wake County school system now? I mean, the last time I knew the number,
you
it was like 147
correct.
Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you were correct. The student population is dwindling, but it is upwards of 155.
Why is it dwindling?
Well, let's see. How long's the show?
That was a pseudo joke to lead in. We'll get back to that because we're going to talk to Jacob about some of the main issues for him. But I wanted to circle back around. You went to NC State, then you went into the Navy. So why the Navy and what kind of an impact did being in the Navy for 4 years have on you?
Yeah, so in full disclosure, went to NC State for a year and found out that they don't let you stay if you don't go to all your classes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went through that too, University of Illinois.
Yeah, they're happy to take your money
for
that year.
Right.
But then they advise you that you probably don't need to be there anymore. So I was just immature kid, not ready to be there, and had to make a decision on what I was going to do next. And so that was May, June of 98. And the decision I made was join the Navy, and I was in boot camp on July 28th.
Wow, fast.
Yeah, I got out of there as fast as I could.
Any military in your family?
Yeah, my father was in the Marines. My grandfather on my mother's side was in the Navy in World War II.
Wow.
Probably goes back some from there as well.
So what did that do to Jacob Arthur? Who were you when you went in? Pretty normal. Goofing around.
Normal.
I was exactly like that.
Yeah.
Didn't. I would have said I was a Christian, but I wasn't. But you went in one person. You came out a different one.
I definitely came out more mature. The one thing I will say about military service is the amount of responsibility that is put on young men and young women at an age that most kids can't even comprehend. Mm. Will definitely make you grow up fast. 'Cause if you don't, you get washed out.
Yeah.
So it definitely matured me, taught me some responsibility, and I think made me a man in a society where that's not valued that much at
that
age.
Yep, that's right.
And so when I got out, I had a purpose and went back to school, finished my undergrad through North Carolina Wesleyan, managed to graduate from there in less than 3 years, graduated with honors. School was not a problem at that
point. Big turnaround.
Yeah, big turnaround.
Yeah. Well, you needed a wake-up call. The same thing happened to me. They bounced me at the University of Illinois. I came back and begged. They gave me a chance to come back the next semester. I was there for 3 or 4 days, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I've learned anything.
I did the same for summer school.
And then I drove home.
Yeah.
And showed up at my parents' house. They're like, what are you doing here? School's starting tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't think I should be down there. And I came home for a semester in that summer, and then I went back, and I was fine after that. And then becoming an attorney, why law?
I've always liked to argue my case, I think. And you can do so much with the law, I think in society. You can have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And really can impact and help people. The last 6 months, the end of 2021, what are we in, 2022?
2022. Yeah.
So the end of 2021, when all the vaccine mandates started coming down, I really devoted my practice to helping people get religious exemptions for mandated vaccines at their companies. I probably helped upwards of 24 folks with that. Just had people start coming to me asking me about
it. That was a big deal. That was jobs on the line,
yes.
Providing on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw it as an injustice. I'm not taking a position on whether or not you want to get a vaccine. That's up to you, but I definitely don't think you should lose your job over it.
Yeah, amen.
And so I started helping people with that, and you know, with my faith, felt that combining the legal aspect and my religion with that, my faith, that I could help people, and kind of would vet people as best I could on their religious faith, and then help them with exemptions.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say we had none that were not successful.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, most people just were afraid to kind of go up against the machine, so to speak.
Right.
But that's why it's important, just like the Apostle Paul, you got to know the law, because most of the time the law is on your side. But if you don't know it, you can't use it. What are some of the biggest issues for you running for Wake County School Board, District 7? Where is District 7, by the way, so people can figure out whether they're
in
or not?
So District 7 is a little bit of northwest Raleigh, extends westward to the county line, kind of comes down to the airport, Morrisville area, and then south into a little bit of northwestern Cary. It's a pretty long, diverse district.
Kind of down the western edge of
it
Wake
is,
County.
Yeah.
Who's currently in the seat?
Chris Hagerty.
How would you describe Chris Hagerty?
I would describe him as, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I've had some interaction with him. I can't say I have anything personally against Chris.
Sure.
The problem I have is that the decisions he makes on the school board are impacting kids in this district, and I believe they're impacting them negatively. And so that's why I think he's got to go.
Would you describe the Wake County School Board as somewhat liberal, very liberal, or exceptionally liberal?
I would, if we didn't have two Republicans on the board that are Republicans by name, I would say exceptionally liberal.
Yeah.
But I would go with very at this point.
And the liberals own it. They can do whatever they want because they have a majority.
They have a majority. And if you look at what they vote on right now, almost every vote is 90-90-90.
Oh,
so in a district that screams about diversity and equity and inclusion, there is no diversity on that board.
Yeah, we have the same problem in the Wake County commissioners. And we've had a Dina in here before, and that's the same problem. There's no diversity of thought, which is never a good thing. That's always a problem. So some of the big issues that you want to tackle getting on the school board.
Yeah, so I've really come to the conclusion of putting out three planks of my platform, and it's empowering parents, it's investing in students, and it's supporting teachers. I think those three issues are kind of an umbrella that everything else falls under. You talk about empowering parents. I think parents feel like they've been locked out a lot.
Absolutely.
I want more curriculum transparency. You know, before the show started, I was discussing this grading system that's at my son's school. Competency-based grading that is a pilot program at my son's school that, as a somewhat educated person, I can't even understand how my son's doing in school.
Yeah.
I've had teachers that can't explain it to me that teach at the school. And even yesterday at the school board's committee meeting on the topic, they were very hesitant to recommend putting it out to any more middle schools at this point. So curriculum transparency is huge for me. Grading transparency. I would love to see a more uniform system across the district, across the school board system.
So if a parent wants to know exactly what's being taught in that class, shouldn't that be an easy thing?
You would think so. I mean, with technology,
right?
You should be able to pull up on the computer what the curriculum is, what my child is going to be learning on X day.
And the assignments. And the reading. And then if there's an online Google Doc or whatever, I could just go in there and start some search terms and find out what's in there.
Interestingly, my son that's in middle school, if I want to have access to what he sees on the computer as a parent, I have to have a notarized document turned into the school to give me access to what he has access to as far as his PowerSchool or Empower program in his school where he sees all of his work and his grades. Unless he's willing to show me at home, which my son does, but if I wanted my own access, I have to have a notarized letter.
Yeah, it's just let's make the hoops smaller and further away so it's harder to get through them to give you access because they don't want us to have access.
Yeah.
With what we saw in Uvalde, Texas, what about the security issue? Because I think, you know, we're all on the same page with a lot of these things, especially from a conservative Christian worldview. But the security issue obviously has gotten pushed to the front.
Yes.
And I don't think it's that hard to harden our schools.
No, and I actually held a school safety roundtable a few weeks ago, partnered with Steve Bergstrom, who's running in District 8. We had Donnie Harrison come speak to this point. And, yeah, I think, you know, the lieutenant governor a couple weeks ago joked that and it wasn't really a joke, but if you saw what they did to the Capitol after January 6th, he said it looked like the beaches of Normandy before D-Day.
Right.
If they want to secure places, they can secure places.
Oh, yeah. Congress can secure itself.
Right now in Wake County, and mind you, in 2020, Chris Hagerty and other members of the board were actively discussing getting rid of school resource officers.
Seriously?
After the George Floyd incident, yes.
Because that's too intimidating and it smells too much like bad white cops.
Yes.
Essentially. They would never say it that way, but I'll say it for them because that's exactly what they're thinking because it's so political. It's once again, friends, in just about every school system, it isn't about the kids. I don't care what some liberal tells you. It's never about the kids. They'll sacrifice them in the abortion clinic. They'll sacrifice them in the school. This is Steve Noble with the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Jacob Arthur today. He's running for the Wake County School Board here in the Raleigh area, District 7, is the seat he is after. Jacob Arthur, WakeSchools.com, Jacob Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R. WakeSchools.com is the website. Jacob will be back again, so this isn't like the only shot you're going to get at getting to know him and what he's standing for. But we were talking right before the break, and in this final segment, we'll keep talking about the main issues. But securing our schools, which you put right at the top of your page at the website, JacobArthurWakeSchools.com, on the issues, secure our schools, which we've been talking about. There's no excuse. Money's not really the issue. They've got how big's the budget?
$2.1 plus billion a year.
$2.1 plus billion a year. And when they talked about it a few years ago during the break, you said to put a school resource officer, basically a security person, at every elementary school in Wake County was $7 million a year.
Yeah.
On a $2 billion budget.
Yeah.
Which is like losing a quarter in the back of your van.
It's pocket change.
Right. It's pocket change. It's nothing. And so if we can't secure our schools, the rest of it becomes moot because Uvalde or wherever else we've had these, I'm sure the curriculum and all the other garbage that's in there becomes secondary if your kid gets killed. And this is number one. We have to secure our schools. Hopefully this is going to be an issue.
Well, and I mean, it's a horrible thing to think about.
Oh, of course.
But this is the world we live
That's
in.
That's right.
And if you have to play the hand you've been dealt.
That's right.
And the fact is that our schools are vulnerable.
That's right. And we have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And it's not complicated.
It really shouldn't be.
This isn't like trying to reverse 100 years of progressive curriculum.
Right.
It's a lot easier than that.
Yeah.
So then empowering parents, which you talked about, which is a big deal. Giving parents access to everything that's going on in their school.
Yes.
Literally.
Instead
of not having to get something notarized in order to do that, which is what you had to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're paying the taxes on the on the schools, right?
Imagine that.
And this is why I talk about it. Even if you're not a parent, you mentioned this earlier, even if you don't have kids in the school system, we ask voters when we're knocking on doors that tell us, well, you know, my kids aren't in Wake County public schools, or I don't have kids. Well, do you pay taxes in Wake County? Well, yes,
yeah.
I do. Well, do you know where your taxes are going? They're funding Wake County public schools.
Yeah.
So it's an issue.
Yeah. And I would also, so you don't care about anybody else's kids?
Right.
But I'm a little bit obnoxious like that. All right. So empowering parents and then investing in students. So you have this right here, Wake County public school system, the 15th largest in the country with a current annual budget of $2.1 billion. How are we doing? Are we actually investing that money wisely?
Well, I guess that would depend on who you asked. I like to look at the results of what we're getting. So we've got a $2.1 billion budget. The school system a number of years ago set out a strategic plan, and their goal was reaching a certain graduation percentage rate, okay, 90%. And they say they've reached that goal. The problem is, if you look back over the last decade, reading proficiency and proficiency in mathematics has declined every year while graduation rates have gone up. Now, I'm just an attorney. I'm not a mathematician, but that does
You're not a biologist.
Well, yeah. But that doesn't make sense. How does that
no.
work? So I look at
Wow.
what we're funding, how we're funding it. I want results. I think there needs to be a very detailed line-by-line audit of the budget every year to assure the voters and the parents that every penny spent from teachers, principals, administrators, down to the janitor is ensuring academic success.
Right.
And if it's not, it's got to go.
Yeah, get it out of there.
You know, as a parent, you've probably received the school supply list at the beginning of every year. Well, with three kids in public school, I spend hundreds of dollars on school supplies. Do you know what percentage they spend on materials and supplies from the school's budget?
From the budget.
2%.
All right. I just saw that on your website, okay? JacobArthurWakeSchools.com. Let me just speak to that for a second. Wake school budget spends nearly 90% of funds on salary and benefits, while roughly 2% went to materials and supplies. So there's an initiative that Pastor Tony Evans started down in Dallas years ago called Adopt a School. And that took off here a few years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago. And the Wake County School Board, as these churches would come in and adopt a school, and they'd go in and talk to the teachers and say, well, what can we do to help you? Do you need lunch? Do you need landscaping? What do you need? Well, and the biggest thing over and over again was like basic supplies. That they're spending money out of their own pocket,
yeah,
to go buy things for their classroom, and I was always like, "What? What do you mean they're spending their own money?" Or a parent like you has to go spend hundreds of dollars, and 2%. Now, obviously, you got a lot of salary and a lot of benefits, a lot of people on the system, but a teacher has to go spend their own money for school supplies. It's just disgusting. But these teachers and a church would come in and help them with that stuff, and teachers would be reduced to tears because they weren't getting any help from their own employer.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, and again, as a parent, and you buy these supplies and they go into a pot for the entire classroom. It's not like you're buying them just for your kid. And
yeah,
again,
yeah.
I have no problem buying supplies
yeah.
for a child that may not be able to get supplies.
Sure.
But as a school system with a $2.1 billion budget, are we really saying that the teachers need to buy things out of their own pocket?
Yeah.
We can't find anywhere to cut. Like the Office of Equity Affairs, let's say, that has received
that.
Over $9 million since its inception a number of years ago. So that's
what that'll buy a few backpacks and pencils and erasers.
It'll buy backpacks. Yeah, yeah. It'll buy pencils. It'll provide school security.
Yeah.
There's money yeah. there. It's just how we want to spend it. Not to mention the fact that the school board's own budgetary people use the term, quote unquote, they're heading for a fiscal cliff. That's what they told their own budget director said to the school. They don't even address the issue that we're having with inflation.
Right.
Fuel costs are rising. Food costs are rising. No one seems to worry about that. They just say they'll go to the county or the state
right.
and continue to ask for money.
And they're so used to being able to get more money. And then the federal government, through all of its funding mechanisms, Title IX and everything else, implements its own agenda on the state and local level by controlling all that money. There's not a school system or a state in the country,
right.
maybe one or two, that can exist without federal money. So they get hooked and then they get led around by the nose. We've mentioned teachers a bunch of times. I want to make sure we talk about this third point. And we're talking to Jacob Arthur, who's running for District 7. Wake County School Board, and Jacob will be back. But supporting teachers themselves, talk about that.
Yeah, I think, and we talked about this off air, but I think we've got a ton of great, qualified, wonderful teachers in Wake County. I want to bring more of them to Wake County. Now, Wake County is one of the lower counties in the state for teacher pay. You do have to factor in benefits, which are the fastest rising cost in teacher pay right now overall. So there's going to have to be some give and take. But again, I think it's an issue of looking at the budget and where we prioritize things. So do I support teacher pay increases? I had a guy walk up to the window of my car the other day because I've got a big logo on the side of my car.
Yeah.
And knocked on the window, and I put the window, "Do you support increasing teacher pay?" I said, "Well, that depends how we do it." So again, that's going to be looking at the budget. I think the issue with teachers having to buy things out of their own pocket.
Yep.
We've had
you can give them a raise right there.
Yeah.
They don't actually have to buy their own stuff.
Right. We've had teachers who over the last 2 years had to act as de facto medical professionals, teach virtually things they were never trained to do, teach virtually and in person at the same time. I think we've ask teachers to do a lot off hours, extracurricular activities. Maybe a principal requires every teacher at the school to spend an additional 4 to 5 hours for certain special nights they have at school, and then a teacher goes home and they're looking at trying to do all of their grading, prepare their lessons for the next day. There's a lot of things we can do, I think, to alleviate some of the stress on our teachers and make the work environment a little better.
How powerful is the teachers' union in North Carolina?
Well,
is that an issue? There's some pretty radical people running that thing.
They've probably got control of the current school board.
Yeah.
So fairly powerful.
How would you grade the current person in District 7, Chris, what's his last name?
Hagerty.
What kind of grade would you give Chris?
Are we using a...
I forgot. No, don't use any weird Wake County school system, sliding scale, comprehensive, blah, blah, blah.
Competency-based.
Just give me on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being awesome, I can't believe you would run against such an incredible person, or 1 being you need to get off the school board immediately.
Well, I'm going to have to give him a 1.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I said I don't know Chris personally. I've had some interactions with him a little bit here and there, but the decisions he's making as a school board member negatively impact the school system, in my opinion.
And so out of 9 school board seats, we have, I mean, conservatives that think and talk and believe like we do, have to take 5. You have to.
We have to, and most people don't know, but the school terms have changed for the seats. So this year, 4 of the seats will shift to a 4-year term, my seat included in District 7. So if I do get elected this year, I'll have 4 years on the board.
Good. Yeah, and so, but everybody needs to know, this is what we're fighting for. This is not, hey, Jacob's got to win. We have to take District 7, but we have to take 5 of these 9.
5
just have
9.
To. That's the only way to do it. You can get 3. That's nice. Hey, have fun. They're getting trounced, Jacob, because you're not going to get anything.
Yeah, it'll be old man yelling at the clouds,
right?
Kind of thing.
So we have to have a majority, which is why I keep saying we have to take over the school board.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mentioned earlier, we're probably 10 to 15 years behind where we need to be as a movement, and I don't think it's unfair to say that if we don't get a majority this year, it might not happen.
Do you think what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, and everything we've seen going on for the past year and a half, are you more hopeful about just citizen engagement at this point?
Yeah, I am. There was actually a news story out today with a poll on, I don't have it in front of me, but I think a total of 83% of those respondents, regardless of party, Republican, Democrat, or unaffiliated, said that they would definitely consider voting for somebody not in their party because of their stance on education issues. So I think there is a really big chance to get a lot of voters that we might not get. You know, I'm outnumbered in my district. There's 30,000 registered Democrats, only about 18,000 registered Republicans, but we've got almost 39,000 unaffiliated voters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And those unaffiliated voters have kids in school too. So
yeah, that's right. And all you want is an honest hearing, and more people are waking up to the reality that the Democrat Party has left the vast majority, if you're a Democrat, behind. It is super uber liberal. It is uber progressive. It's so far outside the mainstream. And they're sacrificing kids on that altar, and they have been for a long time.
Absolutely.
And so, we will all continue to appeal to people. If you're a Democrat and you're like, I would never vote for a Republican, quit thinking about parties. Think less about parties. Think more about results. critical thinking, logic, and especially in reality, think about what's best for our children, because obviously the people in charge now are not getting that done, which is why we need to get to know people like Jacob Arthur. Jacob, thanks for being here today, man.
Absolutely.
We'll
thank
do it again.
You. Yes, sir.
We'll definitely make sure we have you back. Jacob Arthur, wakeschools.com is his website. Jacob Arthur, wakeschools.com. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.